So we're going to go over Galatians 5 today, starting up top. For freedom in Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now, we can look at many things as the yoke of slavery could be. Back in the old times, back in the Jewish times, he was talking about slavery to the old law. Circumcision, uncircumcision, we'll see that here in a little bit. Today, for us today, I think we all know before we came to Christ, we were slaves of sin. Slaves to sin. Slaves to ourselves, our own ambitions, our own selfish wants, selfish needs, the fleshly desires of that. That's what we were supposed to be slaves to before Christ, but after Christ, we're supposed to be something different. We're supposed to be something different. Verse 2, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be no advantage of you no longer. I testify again that to every man who accepts circumcision, that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, and you who have been justified by the law have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Same for us today, right? The only thing that Christ wants from us is true faith in Him and true obedience to Him. In everything that we do, He is supposed to be the King of our lives, the Master of our lives. So that hasn't changed any. It's just the circumstances have changed a little bit. We're under His law now. Verse 7, you are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This is where we need to start looking at our own lives. At one time, hopefully, we were all, once we became Christians, we all started walking in a Christ-like manner, right? We all started running the race well. Are we still running the race well, or have we veered off? Have we got sidetracked a little bit to what the true goal is? Is our goal not to go to hell, or is our goal to follow Christ and have Him the Lord of our lives and to shine His life to everybody else and His love? That's what we're going to go over today. We're going to kind of look into ourselves. We can't look at anybody else. This is only ourselves we can look into, right? Verse 8, this persuasion is not from Him who calls you. So Jesus, the one that calls us, He wants us to obey Him, not the former truth. Obey Him. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear his penalty, whoever he is. But I, brothers, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Now, Paul is saying, whoever's teaching you this falsehood, I wish would emasculate themselves. That's not gentle language. He is saying, if anybody's leading you astray, they need to be accursed and accursed hard. So we got to make sure whoever is teaching us, whoever is preaching up here, whoever is teaching the classes is staying with the truth, the Word of God. If not, there has to be something done. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom. Are you guys glad you guys were called to freedom through Christ? Everybody should be saying amen to that one, because if you weren't, we'd be under the old law yet, which is impossible to keep, and we'd have no hope if Christ never came. Or only do not use your freedom for an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So this freedom that we got from our sins, Christ freed us from our sins, that should not be an opportunity just to keep sinning more and more and more and more. This should be an opportunity for us to change our lives, to repent of our old ways, and to start loving one another, serving one another like Christ served us. That's what Paul is telling us here. Serve one another, love one another. If we're busy doing that stuff, this bad stuff will have no opportunity to jump in because we won't have time for it and we won't be focusing on it. I believe that's what Paul is telling us here. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Now, it's kind of interesting how they said that in one word, then he gives you a sentence. So we'll just go with that, right? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Have you ever really thought what that means? Do you want yourself ever to perish in eternal damnation? Do you want yourself to perish there? Why would we want not think about that when we're going out in the world and we're seeing all these people perishing in their own wants and their own lusts and their own desires, and they're falling away? Even people in our own church, if they're kind of falling away a little bit, we don't want that for ourselves. Why would we want that for anybody else? We're not supposed to. We're supposed to have the same love that we have for ourselves, and we're supposed to have it for everybody else. So if we want to be saved, we want everybody else to be saved. If we see what Christ has done for us and how great he is, let's show that to everybody else. We're supposed to be wanting the best for one another. But this is where the lesson is going to really start. If we bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Have you guys ever worked or been in a place where all there was a ton of backbiting, stabbing people in the back, and gossiping and just talking bad about one another? If you have been, you know that grows, right? That doesn't diminish, that grows. So if somebody starts biting you and devouring you, what are you going to want to do back to them? You're going to want to get right back at them. And most of the time we're dealing with the worldly people, right? So they're not going to be taking what Paul is saying here, be nice to everybody no matter what they do to you, and that's what Christ told us to, right? They're not going to be taking that. They're going to hammer right back at you. And the more we are not like Christ, the more we are going to be like this. If we bite and devour one another here, like the world does, pretty soon, I tell you, this church will be gone. That's what he's saying here. If you keep doing this, pretty soon you're all going to be gone. You're all going to be in the world. It's just, it doesn't work that way. We're supposed to love, serve one another, which means we put one another in front of our own selves, right? We don't think of me first. I think of you guys first, and then I can take care of myself afterwards. That's what the message is here, and that's what the whole bottom of the section Paul is trying to get at. The deeds of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. What do you want? Get rid of it. Do what is best for one another first. But I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So I think we just went over that. The more things that we do for one another in the world, the more times we love one another first, serve one another, the less time we are going to have to try to serve our own fleshly desires. The idle hand is the hand that sins. My grandpa always said, keep busy. Keep busy doing the good things. You don't have to worry about these bad things creeping in. He was very wise, and it lines up with biblical scripture. So that is a very good thing to think about. Stay busy for the Lord. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I skipped 17 for a reason. So we need to be led by the Spirit, right? We need to walk in the Spirit. Not just say that we're led by the Spirit, we need to actually walk in the Spirit. Deeds speak loud. So if we see people, if you see me loving and serving one another, serving everybody here, doing things for you, you see it. And you actually say, yeah, that's what he does. But if I say, I love you guys, but you never see it, what good is it? It doesn't do a whole lot of good. So we need to walk in the Spirit, not just say that we do. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. So, I got the deeds of the flesh here, piece of paper. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through these very slowly. Judge yourself. Very good here, okay? And if you have a problem with some of these, just check them. You don't have to show anybody this. Just kind of do whatever you got. You don't have to check them, but you can mentally check them, right? So then at the end, we're going to do a couple other things. So, do you have a problem with biting and devouring people? Do you have a problem with if they strike you, you're going to strike back? Do you have a problem with gossip? That's the same thing. Do you have a problem with any of this? Next one is sexual immorality. Next one is impurity. Next one is sensuality. The big problem for me is idolatry. Now, we're not talking, I don't bow down to other gods and I don't do that, but maybe I do. Maybe I put stuff in front of God sometimes. That's the same thing. There's no difference. So, is God always the forefront of what you do? The first thing that you think of and the last thing that you think of at night? Sorcery. I don't know anybody that's sorcery here. I hope not. Enmity is a big problem, right? Enmity and strife are kind of intermingled a little bit there. You ever know somebody that's not happy unless there's conflict? I know quite a few of them. They're not happy unless they're not happy. The people are like that, right? There's some people are like that. How about jealousy? Here's a big one for a lot of us. How about fits of anger? If you say you never get overly angry, Please come and teach me how not to. How about rivalries? Now, this is kind of a one, especially if you played sports, it's easy to understand. But when I played football, our coaches always said, they're the enemy. Kill them. I mean, that's what we actually said in the huddle, kill them. Rivalries are something that you're wanting the worst for somebody. You're going, you know, you're better than them, and you're there. You want the worst for them, worst outcome possible for them. That's a rivalry. You don't want them to win. You're going to win. How about dissensions? How about envy? Man, I like that car. I really want it. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get it. You know? Drunkenness, we just went over that in Bible study quite a bit. And orgies. And the biggest thing is the last one. Things like these. That is pretty encompassing, right? That is pretty encompassing. This list is just a little bit of it. Things like these is a lot broader list. So now we got to start checking our hearts. Why are we doing what we're doing? Are we doing the right things in the right mode for the right person? Are we doing this for Christ? Or are we doing this to look good, right? So deeds of the flesh. Now when I look at these, I see one thing in common with all of these things. There's one thing that I see in common. Me. It's a self-centered attitude. It's you're not looking out for anybody else but your desires and your wants. And I've started figuring out in life, if it's what I want, I'm going to double check it because that might be something I don't want to be doing. We got to double check that. I got a problem with that myself. But that's me. The next line is pretty bad here. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do these such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is a pretty bold statement right there. So if you guys have check marks along here, Paul's last line from Paul just said that's pretty frightening, right? That means we need to be working on these check marks and trying to get them out of our lives ASAP. We need to be repenting of these. And if we get angry, we need to replace that with something wholesome, right? Maybe if we feel we're getting angry, maybe we need to pray. And pray a lot. Maybe we need to sit down and take a 30-minute prayer just to chill out. Because I've noticed one thing. If I get mad and I sit down and pray, it's very hard for me to go angry out of that prayer. And it gives me kind of a clearer mind a little bit. So that's what we need to do. Because this last sentence, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is like Jesus' quote, I never knew you. Wow, could you imagine Jesus saying, I never knew you? Yeah, I see all those great things you did, but I never knew you. You weren't doing them for me, you were doing them for yourself. And I think that's parallel to what he's saying right here. Don't do these things for yourself. Look out for one another first. Don't be doing the deeds of the flesh. I don't remember Christ doing anything for himself, really. If you really think about it, Christ was always serving everybody else. He really he'd sit down and eat once in a while. But usually that was to teach somebody, right? He brought all the sinners and drunkards in and everything, but he started teaching them. It wasn't just to have a party, it was to teach everybody. It was to do all that. And when he was hanging upon the cross, I can guarantee that wasn't his flesh saying he wanted to do that, because we know the night before he said he didn't want to do that in the flesh. Please take this away from me if you will. But he didn't do it. He said, I will do it because this is what my Father says he wants me to do. Now, do we do what Christ wants us to do? If we're doing these, we are not doing that. We're doing what we want to do. If we were in the garden, we'd be saying, nah, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's not what Christ did. Why would we do that? We need to follow his pattern and submit our lives to what he wants us to do. So let's go back up to 17 now. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. So these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So has anybody ever done something and all of a sudden you go, whoa, that was the wrong thing to do? man, I feel terrible now. That's the spirit working inside you and saying, you didn't do what I told you to do. That's the spirit. When I tell everybody, when you got a problem, is when you do something wrong and you don't care. You don't have any harsh feel, had bad feelings. You don't want to repent from it. You don't want to. That is when you are in danger. That's when you're in danger of completely separating yourself from God. I tell everybody, if you mess up and you're feeling bad and the Spirit is convicting you, that is how the Spirit convicts people. Because it's reminding of what you have learned through the Word. And the Spirit, He brought the Word to us. So when you start feeling bad and you repent from it, that's what God wants from us. Because He doesn't want us doing these things. He wants us repenting from these things and doing these things. If we do these things, we don't have to worry about these things. Right? It's very simple when you really look at it. God's got a very simple plan for us. He's given us a very simple blueprint, but it's hard. Because our spirit is in conflict with our flesh at all times. So whenever you want to do something for yourself, selfishly, one of these things, the Spirit hopefully is saying, don't do that. Start doing these things instead and follow what I've told you to do. So now we're going to go into these. The fruit of the Spirit. I know love is the main thing, right? But I put all these down because I think when we're checking ourselves, the first thing we need to check is, do we have love? And I'm not talking about kissy-kissy love. I'm talking about, I don't care what you do to me, I'm still going to choose to love you. I'm going to get up every morning and I'm going to choose to love you no matter what. Because that is the love Christ had for us. We were enemies of Him, right? And He chose to go on that cross for us. So whatever I choose to forgive you has nothing compared to what He did for us. Nothing. Minute. Tiny. So that is love. Do you have that kind of love for one another? No matter what somebody does to you or your family, that you will be able to forgive them. Not maybe today, but you work on it. And you work on it forward. Are you able to forgive them? Because remember, Christ forgave us when we were His enemies. He died for us while He was that. So love is essential. Are you a joyous person? So you're at a restaurant, right? This lady comes up and she's screwing up everything. Are you sitting there, ugh, no tip for you today? Or are you going, I get it. I mean, this life is not easy. You never know what she might be going mad at home or him. Maybe they got a whole bunch of kids that are sick at home and she had to call a babysitter in because she got called into work and everything's crazy. Who knows? Are we joyous? And just say, hey, God bless. Is there any way I can help you? You seem frazzled today. Who knows? Who knows where that might go, right? That is the fruit of the Spirit when you do something like that. Now, getting mad and saying no tip, that's a deed of the flesh. That's it. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. Are you peaceful? Do you love peace? Are you one of those persons that aren't happy unless you're unhappy? That's the only way you can be happy, is to be unhappy. How about patience? Everybody should smile right now and check that one. Everybody has a problem with patience now and then. Everybody does. But we're getting better at it, I hope. How about kindness? Are you a kind person? If I went out and talked to a bunch of your friends, would they say, yeah, he's a kind, good guy, or she's a very kind, generous person? What would they say? Because if they don't see it, are we really producing that fruit where people can see it? Remember, fruit? Think of it, a tree, you don't go up and just start eating air, right? You don't eat something that you can't see. You can actually see the fruit and see it, it's good. It's not air, it's fruit. It's something that we can see. So don't keep it inside. How about goodness? Are you a good person? Good person will never get you to heaven. But good person is a fruit of the Spirit. It's very hard to be a bad person and a Christian. I don't know too many bad people that are Christians. I don't know anybody, really, that's a bad person to be a Christian. You got to be a good person too. Because the Spirit will make you that way. How about faithful? Not only faithful to God, but faithful to your brethren. Are you somebody that they can count on? Are you somebody that, yeah, maybe I disagree with him a lot, but I know he's pretty solid. He'll be there if I need him. He's faithful to his people that he loves. And he's more faithful to God. Of course, we've got to be faithful to God first, right? How about gentle? Are you a gentle person or are you a very abrasive person? Sometimes I'm very abrasive, I know that. I try to be gentle. Self-control. How's your self-control? I think self-control is last for a reason. I think self-control, all the rest of these hinge on love and self-control, if you ask me. If we have self-control, that we can actually steer our emotions and steer our thoughts, we'll be better at the fruit of the Spirit. If I start getting angry and I can have self-control to steer myself towards prayer, that's going to calm me down. So I look at these as bookends. I look at love and self-control as the podium where all the rest of these stand on. So that is the fruit of the Spirit. Next one, there is no law against that. Those who belong in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if you are calling yourself a Christian, these things right here, these deeds of the flesh, should have been crucified. That doesn't mean it's not an ongoing work, though, because we are not perfect. So if somebody gets mad at you, one of your brothers, give them some grace. You know, don't lash out, because once you lash out, you're sinning too. So we need to give some patience and some grace. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Just like I said, if we are saying that we are led by the Spirit, we better show it. We better walk it. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So looking at those, what else could we do? If we don't want to do that anymore, if we don't want to be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another, what can we do? How about we love and serve one another? How about we live in peace? How about we be patient with one another? Kind, good. How about we're faithful to one another and God? How about we're gentle with one another? Use that self-control to guide our thoughts and our actions towards one another. How about if we're forgiving with one another? That goes a long ways, right? Forgiving one another. And if you go to Galatians 6, it's bearing one another's burdens, right? So I think it's very obvious why he put Galatians bearing one another's burdens right after he talked about this. It's very obvious. Because if we have the fruit of the Spirit, we will gladly bear one another's burdens. We will gladly put our others in front of ourselves. If we are walking in the flesh, bearing one another's burdens is going to be very difficult to do because we're going to be looking at ourselves first and not one another. So I know there's a lot of people here right now. I know there's a few at least that are struggling with anxiety, things that are happening. They're nervous. I know there's people stressed out from work because school just started up, so I know that. The rest of us are always stressed out from work, probably. Money, who knows? Everybody in this pew is struggling with something. I about guarantee it. We don't know, but I can almost make a guarantee that everybody here is struggling with something. God gave us Jesus Christ, right? The best gift he could ever give us, right? He also gave us another gift that is a very close second, and that is each other. That is the church. He died for the church. He paid for the church. We are his body, right? So it's a very close second to Christ, to our head, is our body. We're here to love one another and support one another. And there's a lot of people going through some tough times right now. So that is the lesson for today. That's just serve one another selflessly, not selfishly, because we're serving one another when we do that. That's put one another ahead of ourselves and we'll be fine. That's what Christ said and that's what Paul told us to do through the Spirit. So you know it's going to work, right? God's all-knowing. So if there's anybody struggling with any of that needs some prayers or something, come up and we'll help you out. You know, we'll pray with you. We'll hold you accountable if that's what you need. That's what we're here for, too. If you have anything to praise God for, it's a great time, too. He's been great to all of us. I know that. I don't see anybody here struggling too much with material goods, so we know he's delivered on that promise. He's given us more than we need. Sometimes we forget our wants aren't our needs sometimes. But as you saw, everybody was going around hugging one another, so God's been very good to us here. If we just show it to one another. Sometimes we don't want to show it to one another. I don't know why. Sometimes the pride thing, maybe. I don't know. But let's just get rid of all that. Let's just love one another like we're supposed to as a family. And we'll be fine.